Kinnat Hezayin. Gemara in Tainus, famous Chazal, Komes Abel Yerushalayim Zeche V'Roya B'Simchosa. One who mourns on Yerushalayim is Zeche and sees its Simcha. The explanation seemingly being that a person who is Misabel Yerushalayim, who understands what we're missing, who understands what we've lost, the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ruchnius, so he will be able to rejoice, he will be able to be besimcha when we have the Gilui Shechina, when we have the Beis HaMikdash back. But someone who is unable to be misabel, someone who does not know what it is that we've lost, someone who does not know this connection, will not be able to do so. Took my class this year at Rav Elia Bar Vachvegel, and he told over, I think it was Chizkuni, an explanation on one out of five came out of Mitzrayim. And he said that according to Chizkuni, much of Klal Yisrael were not avodim, or were not working as hard during Mitzrayim, and they were satisfied with their lives in Mitzrayim, and therefore they did not want to leave. And he said that the same will come Bizman Mashiach, will have the same challenge where many people will choose that they don't want to go. The Mechaber writes in Or Chaim Siman Aleph Siv Gimel, Roy l'cho yirei shemayim shei meitzar v'doeg al churban beis hamikdash. It's fit for all yirei shemayim that they should be meitzar and tsar and doeg and worry about the churban beis hamikdash. And the question is, what do you mean, Roy l'chol yirei shemayim? Roy l'chol adam, l'chol Yisrael, everyone should be meitzar v'doeg on the churban, not just the yirei shemayim. The Kutzker Rebbe said that someone who's not a yirei shemayim, first he has to worry about his own churban. He's not yet capable of being made tzavidoyeg on the churban beis hamikdash. But he has his own churban, his own disconnection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he has to be made tzavidoyeg. And the same applies to the mitzvah, which according to many is a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's one of the first questions they ask. Tzipisa l'Yeshua, to look forward, to yearn for the beis hamikdash to be built. We have to know what we're missing. We have to know what we want in order to be tzipisa l'Yeshua. One of the Ikarim in Emunah and Bias Mashiach is we say, Afal pishi yismameya im kol ze achak eloi. The Makar is from the Navi Chavakuk, where he says, im yismameya achak eloi kibayavai. If it's delayed, wait for it to come. It's going to come. And the question is, okay, we already have that we're waiting for Mashiach. Well, obviously, if it didn't come yet, so achakala, we have to wait. What's this added inyan that the Navi is telling us? What's this added thing that if it's delayed, I'm still waiting for it? Okay, that's what waiting means. Waiting means that we wait for it to come, achakala. In the end of Sefer Daniel, the Zman HaKeitz, the Zman HaMashiach, is written, and it's hidden. And many of the Rishonim delved into it, and there were many, many shitas given by the Rishonim as to when the Zman HaKeitz would be, when Mashiach is going to come, the Ramban among them said, Shnas Tovches, Another one said Tafresh Tzadik Tes. Another one said Tav Shilches, etc., etc. And yet, all of them have passed. And unfortunately, all of them were incorrect. So how could it be? How could it be the Rishonim? They were mishtadel on this, they looked into it, and they were wrong. They printed it as the Ramban, it's the Rishonim. But it says in Daniel, Umin maskilim yichshol litzref behen ulevar ulavein ad eis keitz ki oid l'mayit. And Rashi explains that Daniel was predicting, Daniel was telling us that you're going to go. And there are going to be predictions. And there are going to be diukim. And they're going to be wrong. But why? What was the purpose? What was the purpose of having it as such that we'll constantly have Rishonim and others telling us the wrong dates? This was intentional. Why? So Rav Eliezer Berra said, Imre Ur, that number one, all these times were mesugal to have the Geula. There were possibilities for the Geula to come, and he says, if you look closely, you'll see that we refer to the time of Mashiach as Chevle Leida. And when you have Chevle Leida, but there is no Leida, then you're left with a Mapola. And the year Tav Ches, with Gzeres Tachvetat, and Tav Resh Tzadik Tes, was the beginning of World War II. V'chehena v'chehena. That these were times that were mesugal. These were times that Mashiach could have come, and unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, when it didn't, we got the Mapola. But again, we have to ask, what was the purpose? What was the point? What was the goal? Why is it hidden from us? And why are we having predictions so that they become wrong? So he says over from his father, Abnasan Vachvegel Zatzal, in the beginning of World War II, in Kelm, a person walked in, and he quoted a chazal to the Bachurei Yeshiva that said, "In Reisa Malchias Mizgaru Elu Be'elu Tzipol Eragli Shel Mashiach." That if you see different kingdoms, different kings going to war with each other, you should start looking forward to Mashiach. And he said, "There's a tremendous war going on now, so we need to look forward for Mashiach." And the Bachurim responded by saying, there have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Mochamis, Mashiach hasn't come. It's not a riot to anything. And Rav Daniel Mashevitz, who was the Reshiva at the time, was Mashkiach beforehand, he came in and he heard this shock of Itariya, and he said, this person is right. He's correct. And he says, I'll explain with the story that happened in Kelm 50 years ago. There was someone in Kelm, well involved in the community, who had one son, and many daughters, but one son. And when he was about 7 or 8 years old, he became ill. And he was in a matzav of sakana. And in Kelm, there were no proficient doctors. So they sent to Berlin, and the doctor, to get a doctor from Berlin. They're in the house. A lot of people are there giving chizuk. And there's a knock. Everybody jumps up, runs to the door. And there's another neighbor coming to give chizuk. A few minutes later, again, a knock on the door. Nochem, everyone jumps up, everybody runs. And then it's just another neighbor coming. V'cheheneh v'cheheneh, after 10 times, when there's a knock on the door, nobody looked. Nobody jumped. They knew it was just another neighbor. But the relatives, some people a little closer, they continued to jump up and go. And finally, after a while, even they stopped. But the parents, every single time there was a knock on the door, they looked up, they jumped up, they checked. That never stopped. When it comes to the Chorban, and when it comes to the Geula, that's who we are. We're the Ava'im of this child. We are the son or the daughter of this parent. And every time there's a knock on the door, we look up and we wait. Maybe this is the one. Maybe the doctor is here. Maybe the Geula is here. Yes, said Reb Daniel. Yes, there have been many Mohammeds hasn't come, but we still do. And that perhaps is the explanation of what was going on with Daniel and the Nevuah of Habakkuk. That he put in a way that people would make predictions, that Rishayim, that Gedolim will make predictions, and we look forward to it. And we'd wait and be a knock, and the time would come. But then it wouldn't come. And then, Afal Pishi Yismamea Im Kolzea Chakeloi B'chol Yom Sheyavoi. And we're not going to stop. And there's not going to be Yush at that point in time. But the Achakeloi, we're going to show what it means to us that we are not just the people on the periphery, but we are the Av and the Aim, we are the Ben and the Bas in this situation. And we wait eagerly every time there is a hint. But not in the way we see so many times nowadays that every time something happens, people bring a makor, it's Mashiach, this and that, and they go back to the regular routine. But to actually wait and to hope and to daven and to do things to make it the truth. And again, we have to understand, in order to do this, we have to know what it is that we're missing, what it is that's lost, so that we can be zeicha, number one, to the Geula, and number two, that we can recognize the Geula. And we're given the Yemei HaMetzarim, which Chazal gave us different things to help us get into that mindset. As he says, we found many kulas, we found many ways around it. And they may all be correct. They all may be halachically valid, but that's not what Chazal had in mind. There was a purpose to these things. There was a goal to these things, to get us into a mindset, to get us into an understanding. But we push it further away. The Ramah brought down in the Sefer Teres Ha'Elah, maybe the Ramah was quoted in Sefer Teres Ha'Elah, that he says that after Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he brought, there was a philosopher named Apaltin. He brought him to Yerushalayim to show him what he did, to show him his accomplishments. And he saw Yirmiyahu HaNavi sitting and crying al Churban. And he went to Yirmiyahu and he said, you're supposed to be a tremendous person, you're supposed to be a Chacham. And yet you violate some basic things. You're crying over wood and stones. And even worse, you're crying over the past. But you can't undo the past. You don't cry about the past. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi answered. And he said, you're a philosopher, you're very smart, but surely you've come up with multiple questions. Ask me all of your hardest questions. I'll answer them for you. So he took him up on the challenge, and he answered all the questions. And Apollon said, Yitaka Chacham. He says, all that Chachma I have came from those Eitzim V'Avonim. And as for your second question of how could I cry in the past, I can't answer you that question. You're an Evi Kechavim, you won't understand the answer. So, What does that mean? What does it mean he won't understand the answer? What taka is the answer? Now, Alto from Kelm said, number one, we see the godless, that even a regular individual from Klal Yisrael could understand something that the greatest philosopher there couldn't, because we understand something. The story said over that when Napoleon had conquered much of Europe, he came to a city in Russia on Tisha B'Av, and he walked into a shul, and he saw people sitting on the floor and crying. So at first he thought they were crying because he had come in, and he actually ordered the execution of everybody in the shul. When they explained to him what it was, he said, if over 1,000 years later they're still crying about it, one day they're going to see it be rebuilt. So he understood something, but he still couldn't fully understand. What exactly does it mean? What was Yirmiyahu's answer? And what is it that we know that this philosopher could not understand? And that is, although the physical Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the essence of the Beis HaMikdash is still around. And when we're misabo on it, and when we cry on it, and we look forward to it, and we know what it is we're missing, that, says Rav Nosson Vachwinkel, is the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Little by little, step by step. That's why it says, Kol HaMisabo Yerushalayim Zeicheh V'Royeh. It should have said, Yizkeh V'Yireh. They will be Zeicheh. They will see. This is Imchasa. But it says, Zeicheh V'Royeh, that's Lashon Hoyveh. They see. They are Zeicheh. Because at the time that we're doing it, we're already bringing ourselves to a Geula. We're building that Beis HaMikdash. We're rebuilding that connection. We're filling in what we lost. Right? It says that Tisha B'Av is called Ma'id. Why is it called Ma'id? Because on Tisha B'Av, we're finally, we all sit down and we all get into this matzav of Misabu Yerushalayim. We are bringing it closer. We're taka being Beina Beis HaMikdash. So it's a Ma'id. That's why there's no Avelos and Shabbos. Because Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not Deicha Shabbos. But we have to know what we're missing. Because when we don't know what we're missing, then all we're left with is Churban. When we caught up, as we are, in our daily physical world, and all our pursuits become pursuits of Gashmias, we lose that connection, we lose our feeling for what it is that we miss. Eicha, we know, was written before the Churban, not after. And Yirmiyahu came to Yoakim HaMelech, and he started saying the Nevuah, Eicha Yashal Badad, and Yoakim responded, as long as I'm Melech, I don't care. He said, Golsa Yehuda Me'ayni, Yehuda's going to go to Golos Me'ayni, I don't care, I'm Melech. Then he said, Hoyut Sarim L'Roish, the enemies will be your heads, they will be the kings. So then he had Yirmiyahu removed, he cut out the Shemus Hashem, he threw it into the Eish, and then he threw the entire Eicha into the fire. So the warnings were there, the explanation was there, but his response was simple, I'm Melech, I don't care. I have my Gashmias, I have my house, I have what I need, I don't care. How many people, if you would approach them and say, listen, you got Mashiach come or the status quo frozen? How many people would at least have to think about it first? Rachman, other people would say, no, yeah, okay, I'll take that deal. Said that in 67 when they captured the old city of Yerushalayim and they got to the Kesel, everybody was crying. People were crying, they couldn't believe they got to the situation. The Kesel was back, a place that can be gone to. And they said, someone else was crying. They asked him, why are you crying? He's like, I don't know. I'm crying because I don't know what to cry about. So perhaps we're in a situation now where we have to cry because we don't know what to cry about. But we look through the kinnah that we're about to say, and it describes everything that Titus HaRasha did when he came into the Beis HaMikdash. And the terrible, terrible things he did the desecration, not just the killing and the wiping out of much of Klal Yisrael, not just the actual destruction of the building, but he took it upon himself to desecrate every way possible, do the worst averis in the Beis HaMikdash itself. And afterwards, he was gloating, and Abascal came out and said, "There was a burnt building you burnt. It was a broken building you broke. Klal Yisrael had already gotten to the point where they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash themselves. Because they didn't appreciate it. They didn't know what it was. And when you don't appreciate it, you lose it. When you don't understand it, you lose it. Because that's everything came from the Beis HaMikdash, from that Kedusha." And it says at the end of the Kina, or towards the end, that they saw there were 600,000 mazikim. And they were waiting for those mazikim to come and defend the Beis HaMikdash. And they didn't do so. And that's when they realized, at that point in time, the Beis HaMikdash had already been destroyed. The Gzeir was there, it was too late. So we need to spend a day of Tisha B'Av. A day where we're cut off from everything. Sitting on the floor. Where we're told to have lack of comfort. No food, no drink. We have the ability to think and to remember. What is it that we're missing? What is it that we've lost? And if we can do that, then we should taka bizeicha to binyan Beis HaMikdash.